welcome to Ephesus Baptist on Father's Day. This is the place that God has provided for us to come and worship Him and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of a family of God?
Amen.
As I'm sure all of you have recognized through the years, fatherhood has changed dramatically as we grew up, particularly my generation. In the past, fathers like my dad were head of the household. But recently I heard someone ask Bobby James who was in charge at his home. Well, he said, my wife bosses the boys and the boys boss the cat and dog, and I can say anything to the goldfish I want to. I share that with you, Bobby. Connie asked me yesterday, we were up here visiting and going home, and she said, you know, what do you want to have for tomorrow? And I said, I want to get a bucket of fried chicken and just go home and just sit down and eat that fried chicken. She said, that sounds great. I got up this morning, looked in the sink, and she was thawing out chicken to bake it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? How much I was in control. But although fatherhood has changed in our society, I do not believe that God's perception of what a father is to be and how he is to act has changed one bit since the beginning of time. And this morning our text is found in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the main focus of our attention will be on verses 22 through 34. But we shall review other portions, or I shall paraphrase other portions of this chapter as well. And may God add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and studying of His Word as we proceed with the message today. Now, this section of God's Word, the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, contains a story that is familiar to us, but I want to review it before we get into the blessing that is encompassed in the title of my message. This part of God's Word teaches us the story of Esau, of Isaac, bestowing his fatherly blessing on his youngest son. Normally it was bestowed upon the oldest son, but through deception, Isaac bestowed the fatherly blessing upon his youngest. As you may recall, Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And they were not alike in any way. Esau, the oldest, was an outdoorsman. He had hairy arms and hands, we're told, and he loved hunting and fishing. The second out of Rebekah's womb, Jacob, was nothing like his brother. He was quite a homeboy, and he spent a great deal of time with his mom. And our study begins at the point where Isaac has grown practically blind. He is old, and he decides it is time to pass on the blessing to Esau. Now, a Jewish father's blessing was formal passing of the father's honor and his authority to the oldest son. And since the oldest son was taking over the responsibility of leading the family or the tribe, then he received a double share of the possessions or the estate of his father. So indeed, this passing of the fatherly blessing was quite an important event in biblical times. So we see from the beginning of this chapter that Isaac calls Esau and he says, I am an old man and I may die any day, and what I want you to do is to go out and get some wild game, kill some wild game, and prepare the good food that I really love, and bring it to me, and I'll eat it, and I'll pass the blessing on to you. Esau, being an obedient son, and I'm sure being excited about the prospect of having the fatherly blessing passed upon him at this time, he goes out with his bow and arrow on the hunting trip. Well, while he is gone, Rebecca, his mother, seizes the opportunity to secure the blessing for the youngest son, Jacob, who was her favorite. She tells Jacob to put on Esau's best clothes, and she very quickly prepares some tasty food and instructs Jacob to take the food into Esau and to ask him to give him the blessing. And she puts some goat skin on his hands and on his neck, because as we know, as I said, Esau was very hairy, and she knew that they would have to trick or deceive Isaac. So Jacob goes into the room and he says, "I am Esau, your firstborn, and I have brought the food that you asked me to bring." Well, Isaac, though he may be old and almost totally blind, he's not really stupid. And he says, "You don't sound like my son Esau." He says, "How did you get the food so quickly? How did you go out and hunt it?" And he says, "Well, your God gave me success." So Isaac tells Jacob, "Well, come near so I can be sure that you are, in fact, my son Esau." So Jacob goes close to his father, and even though it sounded like Jacob's voice, when Isaac touches his hands, he feels the goat skin, the hairy goat skin, and he believes him to be Esau, because Esau was a very hairy young man. So he blessed him. And we find the blessing beginning, I want to begin at verse 22, in chapter 27 of Genesis. And listen, please, or follow along as I read. "Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him, and said, 'The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like his brother Esau. So he blessed him." "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine and drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. May you be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." And after receiving this blessing, Jacob, as we can assume, was probably very frightened, probably nervous, probably felt some guilt about tricking his father. So he rushes out, and shortly after he leaves, here comes Esau. And he comes in and announces that he's ready to receive his father's blessing. And Jacob says, "Who are you?" And he replies, "Esau, I am your firstborn son." And of course, Isaac doesn't know what's going on. Look at verses 33 and 34. Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and he indeed will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." Dr. Gary Smellie wrote a book entitled The Blessing. And in it, he examines the blessing that Esau bestowed upon Jacob. And even though deception was involved in Isaac's blessing of Jacob, Dr. Smalley believes that the blessing contains four ingredients which should be present in every home today. And when these four ingredients are present, surveys and research have shown that if they're practiced consistently and persistently, that the children in those homes grow up to be solid, secure, and confident in themselves. They are able to go out into the world and function as, quote, normal, quote, young men and young women in adult situations. But if these ingredients are absent in the home, then too often the child is steeped in bitterness and anger, just like Esau. So I want us to look at these four ingredients in Isaac's blessing this morning. The first ingredient was a meaningful touch of love and affection. Notice in verse 22, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him. And in verse 26, Isaac said to Jacob, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." Now, this is not an isolated incident in the scriptures where there is hugging and kissing between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between husband and wife, obviously. But almost every time a blessing is bestowed in Hebrew, there is a touching, a laying on of hands, a kiss, an embrace, something that conveys acceptance to a person and love of that person. The Gospel of Mark states that people brought children to Jesus, and Jesus set them on his knee and he blessed them and laid his hands upon them. He knew exactly what children needed to feel loved and accepted. So he touched them and he blessed them. You know, it's important that we communicate such conducts in our home. When children are small, we can't communicate with words. They don't understand them. But they do understand love through cuddling and hugging and holding them close. And even though Jacob was 40 years old when Isaac touched him and kissed him to convey his love and acceptance, we're never too old to practice that in our homes as fathers and mothers towards our children. No matter what age, it is important to continue to communicate this love and affection in a meaningful way. The second ingredient is similar, but yet different. The second ingredient was a spoken message of love and affection. As Isaac blesses his son, he smells the clothes of Esau on Jacob, and he tells him how much he smells like a field. Now, I don't know how many of our children today would like to be told they smell like a field, but to Isaac, an old outdoorsman who loved the outdoors, the smell of Esau's garment made him very happy, made him to realize what a great son he had in Esau. It was a compliment, a positive message which communicated love and affection to his son. Too often we are quick as parents to criticize. You're lazy. You're a dummy. You spilt this milk all on the floor. You're too fat. You need to lose weight. You know, words of constructive criticism are okay. But words of criticism, all they do is cause a child to withdraw. And if they don't get that touch of love and affection and that message of verbal love and affection, they will withdraw completely and will not communicate with other family members. There's always room for constructive criticism, yet it's more important to communicate love through the words that you say. You are worth something. Father's Day is special because you are here with me. I am so proud of you. I'm glad you are my son or my daughter. These words that communicate love and acceptance need to be spoken over and over again, even when our children stumble and fall. We pick them up. You're of value. I love you. I'm proud that you're my child. The third ingredient in the blessing that Isaac gave was attributing a sense of high self-esteem to his son. He tells Jacob, he says, "May God give you of heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine." He's saying you're special. God will give you the best he has to give. And we're constantly being told to teach our children to develop a positive self-image, to develop and build up their self-esteem. Therefore, it's important that we tell each and every one of our children, you are so special that God came to earth and died on a cross for you. We can tell them how much we love them, and we should. We can tell them how much we're proud of them, and we should. But if we really love them and we care for them, we will tell them that God died for them on a cross so that they may have eternal life. We can teach self-awareness in a number of ways, high value of oneself. Many times when a child comes to us, we may be watching TV, we may be reading the newspaper. Cut off the TV. Lay down the newspaper. Look the child in the eye. See the wonder that's there and all the things he or she wants to tell you. And let them tell you and tell them how important it is that they talk to you and that you'll always be available as a parent to listen to them. I picked up Connie from the airport on Thursday. She flew back from our daughters in Dallas, and I had a conference Friday morning, so we stayed Thursday night. And we took them all out to dinner and went by Revy's and John's after dinner. And I flipped and turned on Jeopardy because I love to watch Jeopardy and find out how much I don't know. And Evan came up, and he started telling me about Star Wars. So I turned the TV off. 45 minutes later, he's still telling me about Star Wars. And, I mean, he knows everything, all the names, how to pronounce them. I've only seen the very first Star Wars movie, so I was just nodding. But it just made my heart, it just swell. With pride and just so glad he was my grandson because he wanted to talk to me. You know, so often that's not true. And as they get older, we all know it's harder to get that connection. But take time. Let them know you're more important than a TV program. You're more important than a ball game. You're more important than a newspaper. I've got time to listen to you. The fourth ingredient the blessing was the envisioning of a glorious future for the child. Isaac told Jacob, "May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother look bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Isaac is helping Jacob envision a bright future for himself. And that's the responsibility of parents. You know, Jimmy read a verse in Sunday school this morning, Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, most often we interpret that to mean a spiritual application. Teach them the ways of God, and when they get old, they will not forsake them. Well, that's true. But I think there's another application. If we help our children find their niche, we are to help them to discover who they are and why they've been created and why God created them. And if we do that, then they will not turn from that purpose that God created them later on in life. I think that's also an interpretation. I wonder how many times we as parents have attempted to mold our children to become what we want them to be. Many of us have known, had friends that followed career paths in which they were miserable because mom and dad wanted them to be a banker, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, whatever. And they had no desire to do that at all. And maybe that's not what God equipped them to do. We must counsel them and guide them and teach them to pray, to find out what God wants them to do, and to become that man or woman that God wishes and created them to be. Our responsibility as fathers and mothers is to assist them in seeing themselves for who they really are and helping to prepare them for the glorious future that God has in store. I agree with Dr. Smalley that these four ingredients can be the mortar that keeps the family together: a meaningful touch of love and affection, a spoken message of love and affection, attributing to the high value of self-esteem of our children, and envisioning a glorious future for our son or daughter according to God's plan. God is the perfect parent. He is the perfect father, and he has conveyed to us all the ingredients of his blessing in just one verse. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This morning, God's invitation is made to you. God is extending his invitation. As a loving father, he wants to reach down and to touch you and speak to you and to tell you how valuable you are to him and to help you see the future that you can't even imagine that he has in store for you. And if you have not claimed that invitation, if you have not accepted that invitation from your Heavenly Father, we invite you to do so today. If you have a decision to make this morning, we invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 321, "The Savior is Worthy."